Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
Bridgerton has propelled one of Ireland's funniest comedy actresses, that's Nicola Coughlan, to international stardom. Before that, before Bridgerton came along, in other words, Nicola Coughlan had been best known for her portrayal as a teenager, Claire Devlin, that is, in the beloved Channel 4 sitcom Derry Girls. So is this the beginning of a global career for Nicola Coughlan? Well, it's worth remembering that some of the biggest household names in showbiz got their start in low-key, low-budget sitcoms, soap operas and television dramas. So let's take a look at the stars who kicked off their career, if you like, in the corner of some of our favourite shows. And Chris Wasser is here. Chris, are you there? Are you all right?
I'm here, Dave. How are you?
Good man, yourself. Very good indeed. We'll start there. Nicola Coughlan, Derry Girls. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's also worth remembering that Derry Girls was and still is, you know, it's a proper TV phenomenon.
Yeah.
And, you know, I particularly enjoyed Lisa McGee's half-hour sitcom, which, you know, if you're familiar with it, you know, follows the lives of four teenage girls and, of course, their male cousin from the UK, who are growing up and attending Catholic school in Derry towards the end of the Troubles. And Nicola Coughlan, you know, she's kind of the one who's been propelled to stardom from this show. But, you know, it also features some great performances from Saoirse Monaghan Jackson, Tommy Tiernan and Siobhan McSweeney. And it was very well received when it first started. It's hard to believe now that it's been 3 years since it kicked off in Channel 4. And there is going to be another season, but like everything else, Dave, you know, it's been delayed because of the pandemic. Now, it does have a global reach. You know, it's almost as big as Father Ted here and in the UK. It has, you know, a huge international audience, especially in America, because of the fact that Netflix picked it up and, you know, they've rolled out the one season after another on the streaming service. I think what I'm trying to say is that it's been such a huge success for everybody involved. But then you take something like Bridgerton, which, you know, is viewed by 83 million households in 4 weeks, which is number one in, you know, 80-odd countries around the world. That's on another level entirely. So have you watched Bridgerton, Dave?
Let me put it to you this way. The greatest person in my life does. And no, it's been on the background. I have no interest. I mean, not that I have no interest, but it's just whatever, you know. I'm sure it's great, is it?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't a huge fan of it, and I'm not sure if that has anything to do with the fact that I wasn't all that familiar with the novels. So they're based on a series of novels by Julia Quinn, the woman who created it, Shona Rhimes, alongside Chris Sandilson.
Oh, yeah.
She had great success with Grey's Anatomy. So it was always going to be, you know, that's a great combination, you know, like a successful TV producer and a successful young adult novel series, you're going to have great success there. But Bridgerton, you know, it's about young women on the Regency London marriage market in the 19th century. The whole thing is narrated by Julie Andrews, who plays this high society scandal sheet writer. You never actually see her, which is an awful shame, but, you know, she's there to kind of tell the whole story and is part of the plot. You've got rich families, including the Bridgertons and the Featheringtons, kind of, you know, starting off their life and trying to keep their, you know, societal status at a high while all the daughters are being married off. But I think it's the Featherington family, which are sort of like the rival family to the Bridgertons, which left a mark with me. And some of the actresses involved were just brilliant. And that's where Nicola Coughlan comes in. And she plays Penelope, the youngest daughter. And she's quite, you know, she's still a young teenager, but she's quite sweet. She's quite naive, very funny, bit of a bookworm. And she's still trying to figure out what this marriage market all means, what she wants to do with her life, her place in society, her place in the world. And I think Nicola Coughlan, she brings that, you know, wonderful innocence and naivety to the role of Penelope. And she just lights up the screen at every turn. And as you said earlier, you know, she's a national treasure at this stage. And she's also one of our best comedy actors.
Let's take a blast of it because, you know, Nicola Coughlan, star on the rise. I'm going to bring you back to where we're starting here because we are looking at stars who got their start in small productions. We're talking to Chris Wasser. Here's Nicola Coughlan in Derry Girls.
You're not getting anything?
Sure, aren't I doing this fast for Ethiopia?
Well, for Christ's sake, what is it with you in Africa?
Will you sponsor me?
How much?
£2.
£2? Catch yourself on.
What's happening over there is really lousy, Aaron. Father Conway showed us a video and there's this one wee fella, Kamal. He's only 10 and every morning he walks 25 miles in the year as well.
25 miles? How far is that? From here to Bongrana?
Further. It's more like from here to Bally Buffet.
Shut up. From here to Bally Buffet. Sure you'd be knackered?
Kamal is knackered.
Are you sure Kamal isn't exaggerating?
Look, stop slagging off Kamal. Kamal doesn't have it easy. Will you sponsor me or not?
Nicola Coughlan and Derry Girls. Okay, Chris. Now, look, we're going to go move on to the other big stars who got their start on small productions. You mentioned Father Ted. Now, there's a bunch of people from that. I presume you're not going to say Pat Short because he was already incredibly famous with stuff like Dumb Believables, etc. before all that, right?
Yeah, already incredibly famous on the domestic stand-up circuit, and with, you know, video sales thanks to, you know, his role as one half of the Dunbelievables with John Kenny. But I think a lot of time, I think the first time that a lot of audiences outside of Ireland, particularly in the UK, laid eyes on the chap was as, you know, Tom. I shot J.R. Tom in Father Ted. And, you know, you'll remember, like, everyone has seen
him. He was always robbing post offices.
He was robbing post offices, but the money was his, Dave. He just didn't want to fill out the forms, you know.
Yeah.
So Pat Short basically got his TV start there. It's also been, you know, it's almost a quarter of a century, which is, you know, pretty depressing since Tommy Tiernan made his debut on the show.
Speaking depressing, because, like, Tommy Tiernan, depressed priest, well, we spoke about him yesterday because he's in the Wolfwalkers from Cartoon Saloon. We just mentioned his name yesterday. He spends most of his time in the stocks. Now, that's a cartoon version of him. But we mentioned him there in terms of Derry Girls. And now again in terms of Father Ted, right?
Yeah, he's popping up everywhere. And also, I love Wolfwalkers, and he is quite magnificent in that film. But he played the depressed priest, Father Kevin, who comes to Father Ted's at the end of the series run and is, you know, kind of maybe regretting his career decision, looking for advice, and Father Ted cures him by playing the Shaft soundtrack on vinyl.
And then there's Radiohead.
And then there's Radiohead on the bus on the way back home. Yeah, that's right. Wonderful scene.
Was Graham Norton well known before Father Ted?
Not at all, no. I mean, he'd already started to make his name, Dave, as a stand-up performer. And he just had a couple of TV credits to his name before he landed the role of Father Noel Furlong, who is the most annoying fictional priest in history, and, you know, just a hyperactive man child with zero social boundaries. And he played Father Noel for 3 episodes. And when you were watching it, Dave, would you ever think to yourself, that's the guy who's going to go on to have a long-lasting
career?
No, I
suppose you wouldn't, all right. No question about it. Well, I remember him doing his dancing in the caravan bit. I suppose and the caves, do you remember that?
Yeah, the mainland episode. That's the one where he and the priest are trapped in the cave. Furlong ends up under a pile of rubble, under a pile of rocks. That was, you know, look, I never expected watching that, even as a kid, that this guy's going to go on to be the next Terry Wogan, which is essentially what he has done.
Yeah.
And straight after Father Ted, you know, some of the performers came out and had, you know, and continue to have long-lasting careers, despite the fact that some continue to be typecast. But Graham Norton landed his first talk show slot in 1998, which is kind of hard to believe. And then he actually kicked off what we now know as the Graham Norton Show in 2007. So he's gone on to probably be the most successful, you know, ex-student, I suppose, of the Father Ted franchise.
All right, we'll give you a blast. Graham Norton in Father Ted.
Who can screech the loudest? Let's have a screeching competition. I'll go first. Ah! Jerry Fields, your go.
I'd rather not, Father.
Oh, go on. Ah! Easy, easy.
I really think we should think about trying to get out here.
Oh, God, Ted, maybe you're right. If we don't get out, we might have to eat each other. You know, like in that film Alive, where they get into the plane crash and then they have to eat all their friends. Look, here's me eating Tony. Yum, 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 yum.
Okay, right, Graham Norton and Father Ted. Let's take it around the world. Soap stars, for crying out loud. Australia, famous for this sort of thing. What we mean is, like, everybody from Kylie Minogue, Guy Pearce, Russell Crowe, Natalie Imbruglia, they all got their start in Neighbours, and some of the biggest names in Australian acting also appeared in Home and Away at the beginning of their careers as well.
Yeah, and it's still going on, Dave. And I think the reason behind this is because Australian soaps, unlike even American soap operas, which is kind of a self-contained thing, Irish, English, Australian soaps, they're watched all around the world. They have huge international audiences. You know, Home and Away and Neighbours is still a big thing here in Ireland, England and the rest of Europe. And then you've also got this, you know, issue that sometimes the cast of Neighbours and Home and Away, as either part of the storylines or just in terms of a marketing thing, they literally go on tour. So, you know, kind of spreading the Neighbours and Home and Away good vibes. So everybody kind of knows their cast around the world. So it kind of helps with the likes of Kylie, Guy Pearce, Russell Crowe. It's still going on. Chris Hemsworth started out, he's Thor in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. In 2002, he made a one-off appearance in Neighbours. And a couple of years later, he landed the role of Kim Hyde, who was his new student at Summer Bay High. His dad was the new principal. And he starred in Home and Away for 189 episodes. And during that time, he was also on the Australian Dancing with the Stars, which is sort of a kind of a, you know, you're a soap star, you're going to do the reality shows, and that's maybe as far as you're going to get. So after 189 episodes in Dancing with the Stars, he moved to America because he wanted to, you know, see if he could do anything more. He auditioned for Thor. He got a gig, he got a very tiny gig in the first Star Trek reboot, and now he's one of the most bankable.
I'm just thinking. Do you think you would have enjoyed your school days more if the school was called Summer Bay High? I'd say it really helped. Anyway, Heath Ledger. Tell me about Heath.
Yeah, Heath Ledger followed a very similar career path, obviously before Chris Hemsworth, and he had a recurring role in Home and Away. Over the course of about a year, I think he was in about a dozen episodes, and he was also part of this very small, very kind of gritty Aussie teen drama, Sweat, which is kind of like, you know, the Aussie Biker Grove. There's a sentence I never thought I'd say, but it was. And still, though, he was doing something very different. He was juggling. He always wanted to be a serious actor, as opposed to, you know, a millionaire bankable movie star. And he was juggling his TV work with, you know, independent cinema. But it's kind of funny then that when he moved to America, one of the first big gigs he got was as, you know, kind of a teenage, you know, heartthrob in 10 Things I Hate About You. So he followed a very similar path. And it's still going with the likes of Margot Robbie, who was, a series regular in Neighbours for 3 or 4 years before, first she tried her hand on American television. Do you remember Pan Am, Dave?
I remember the name of it. Yeah, I do, actually. I remember there was a series called Pan Am, yeah.
It was sort of a way for Sony were trying to do a Mad Men with the Pan American Airlines, right, and to kind of, you know, give us like the history of the show and have it all, you know, a very glitzy 60s set drama with Christina Ricci and Margot Robbie. It did not work out, but Martin Scorsese cast her in The Wolf of Wall Street, and that just made Margot Robbie a star. And, you know, very quickly, it's still happening right now. I think my favorite of the current crop of, you know, Aussie soap stars turned movie stars is Samara Weaving, who is the absolute head off of Margot Robbie, which is quite strange. But her uncle is Hugo Weaving, if you're familiar with the name. But she had a main role in Home and Away for years, back in the late 90s, and she's since gone on to star in what was one of my favourite films of 2019, Ready or Not. Have you seen it?
Ready or Not. I have seen Ready or Not. And also, we had Hugo Weaving on this very programme only about 18 months ago or thereabouts.
Here,
I'm going to play a blast of just somebody you mentioned there. This is Margot Robbie leaving Neighbours.
Good to go.
Where have you been?
Oh, I just had to tie up some loose ends.
Where are you going?
New York, with you. Oh, I didn't like the idea of you turning up there all on your own, so I got some staff to run the bar, and I hope that's all right with you.
Yes, oh my God, you're coming to New York? Oh, I have to repack.
Oh, Donna.
Just leave.
Okay then, Chris, moving from Australia to the UK, it used to be that if you landed a role in a soap, that was it, unless the writers decided to kill you off. You were set for life, basically. No longer the case, is it?
No, British soap stars, Dave, they're a lot more ambitious than they used to be. And I think, you know, well, this is actually going back a few years, though, to be fair, especially with a lot of actresses from British soaps, Saran Jones, Sarah Lancashire, Jenna Coleman. They all got to start on Coronation Street and Emmerdale. You know, we used to see them every evening of the week after dinner on British television.
Where have I been? I've never heard of one of them.
Oh, Saran Jones from Coronation. You know Sarah Lancashire. Wasn't she like Curly's wife on Coronation Street?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You don't know what I'm talking about. This is another world entirely, Dave, right? Yeah. So I'll put you out of your misery. I'll give you something you'll probably know about. Although, to be fair, Jenna Coleman, you know, she's been huge. Like, she recently received praise for her role in The Serpent on BBC. She's been in Victoria, Doctor Who. She actually started out in Emmerdale. But Himesh Patel, you have to know this name because of the film he starred in. He was best known for almost 10 years for playing the role of Tanwar Masood on EastEnders. And he was 25. He thought, look, you know, I kind of want a career in film, so I'm going to leave here. I'm going to leave behind potentially a job for life to give a career in film a go. And at the same time, you had Danny Boyle and Richard Curtis looking for an unknown actor.
He's in the movie Yesterday. He's the main guy.
Yes,
yeah, I think
exactly, yeah,
he dragged the movie down from my point of view. I didn't think he was good at all.
No.
Is he anything to Dev?
Is he? Sorry, we'll get say again?
Anything to Dev Patel? No.
No, he's not. No.
Okay,
no, just the same surname. No. He did not. I'm going to have to disagree with you there. Okay, I thought one of the this is for listeners. This is the film where the entire world forgets about the Beatles, except for this struggling singer-songwriter who decides to pass off the music as his own, which I would do. But I think one of the reasons this, and it was a huge success both critically and commercially, and I think one of the reasons it worked for me was because Boyle and Curtis hired a complete unknown, and I wasn't all that familiar with Tanwar. You know, I'd seen him, his character Tanwar, on EastEnders a handful of times, but you're watching an unknown actor, so you're not watching a movie star and all the while thinking, well, that's him, I know him from this thing. I know. You don't know him at all, and he also happened to be a fantastic singer, so I think that's one of the reasons it worked.
Yeah, no, he was written very miserable all the time. It's like, oh, get on. And then John Lennon arrives up on a beach and he's gone, okay, fair enough. Was I? Okay, listen, hold on, let's just go to something else here now, entirely different, because I want to move on to you know, people like Ruth Negga and people like that, and Barry Keoghan and Love Hate. Just give us a few of those.
Yeah, Love Hate turned out to be a huge springboard for the current crop of Irish international talent. You've got Ruth Negga, who was in the first couple of seasons of Love Hate, starring alongside Robert Sheehan, who was a love interest. And, you know, Ruth Negga is now an Academy Award-nominated actress, having, you know, given a remarkable performance in Loving. You have Robert Sheehan, who has gone from Love Hate, and the film career didn't really work out for Mr. Sheehan, but he's been very successful with the Umbrella Academy now on Netflix. Killian Scott, Tom Von Lawler, you know what Tom Von Lawler is doing. He's carved out a very successful career in independent cinema. I think the big surprise for me was Barry Keoghan, because I remember watching Barry Keoghan first show up in Love Hate and laughing at the controversy. He played the character. Yeah. Do you remember that made the front page of newspapers, Dave? I mean, he was playing, you know, a teenage gangster called Wayne, and he made actual headlines for pretending to shoot a fake cast. And he had a very, it was a small enough role in the series. You know, he wasn't a serious character at all. And then all of a sudden he gets signed by, you know, an international agency, and he starts showing up working with some of the best directors. He's worked with Chris Nolan in Dunkirk.
Yeah.
He's worked with Yorgos Lanthimos in The Killing of a Sacred Deer, which I still think is his best role. Now he's going to be in The Batman next year.
Best role is in the one, if it's the name I've forgotten about, the four guys who stole the
American Animals.
American Animals, yeah. Yeah.
Fabulous, yeah.
Here, hold on, I'll give you a blast with somebody you haven't mentioned yet. This is from Falling for a Dancer. Anybody remember that? Probably not. Here's Colin Farrell.
I think I might just take it easy. I don't think I'll be drinking anything.
Daniel.
Sorry, kid. I didn't see you there.
Is this next one the lady's choice?
Now, where'll you be so I can find you? Excuse me for a second. Would you care to dance, Mrs. Collard?
Well, well, what do you make of this, Tilly? Of course I'll dance with you, Daniel. Provided you don't mind dancing with an old married woman.
Okay, tell me about that one, Falling for a Dancer.
That's Colin Farrell, you can hear, in Falling for a Dancer. And that was one of the first roles he got. Back in 1997, Colin Farrell was studying at the Gaiety School of Acting, and he hadn't even done a year yet. And he was offered two television roles. The first was Ballycus Angel, which he still calls one of the, you know, the effing greatest things that ever happened to him. And he'd star in that for a year. But the bigger one, it had a bit bigger audience, that it was a one-off television film, the BBC's Falling for a Dancer, in which he played the part of a very handsome, dashing chap named Daniel McCarthy. And it was basically about life in rural Ireland in the 1930s.
Mm.
And that was, you know, that was his breakthrough. As I said, he was also show up in Ballycus Angel. He played Danny Byrne. He was, you know, the bad boy, you know, who kind of, you know, blows in from the capital. He starts making trouble, stealing horses. And he was actually known as Col Farrell back then. And I'm really
by the
glad
way, isn't he doing Batman now as well? He's playing the Penguin or something.
He's a penguin, yeah. And it
looks incredible with all the prosthetics on him. I've seen pictures of it. Okay, so obviously Saoirse Ronan, where do we go with that?
I think we're going to go to the clinic for that. She was just a kid when she showed up in the clinic. I think the clinic ran for about 5 or 6 years. She played the part of Rhiannon Geraghty, and she was the daughter of the psychotherapist Keelan Geraghty. Rachel Pilkington was one of the main stars, and she showed up in about 4 or 5 episodes. It's quite remarkable too, because she's such a tiny thing in this series, and it was in 2003. And to go from a minuscule part in an Irish series in 2003 to 2007, being nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah, and many times since as well. Here she is then. Yeah. This is Saoirse Ronan in the clinic.
You awake?
Yeah.
I can't believe it. Me ma.
I know.
I'm really scared.
Just try and get some sleep.
I can't.
Just try, okay?
Okay, she can't. Okay, let's just go to George Clooney then. Where does he start all off?
Yeah, George Clooney was, he was in Roseanne, wasn't he, back in the 80s, with a fabulous mullet. Actually, I don't even know if it qualifies as a mullet. It's his own, you know, fabulous concoction. Back in Roseanne, he was actually in a series called E/R before he went on to be in ER. But you watch him in Roseanne, and there's no indication other than the fact that, you know, he is already gorgeous George. He's a very handsome fella. He's got plenty of charisma. There is no indication, I don't think. Back then, you're watching a person who will become one of the wealthiest filmmakers in the world.
Indeed, right. And he brought all his friends out recently, 15 of them, and gave them all £1 million. You see that?
He did, yeah. I don't know if I'd do that with you.
Well, it kind of sums up like going from whatever to look where he is now, kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'll give you a little blast of that. Chris, thanks a million for talking to us. I know there was other ones like Woody Harrelson from Cheers and James McAvoy from Shameless and Amy Adams as well from a bunch of things on TV. But I'll just give you this, George Clooney. Thanks a million. Take it easy, Chris. Chris Wasser.
Booker, I got to get off an hour early today.
No, I can't do it. We're 200 cases behind on that Gilman order.
But I got it, Booker. It's really, really important.
You have to understand my position. Here at Wellman Plastics, we are a team. All the players are equally as important. The running backs are no more important than the pulling guards.
I got it. It's like a big old quilting bee.
A what?
You know, where all the barefoot women on the prairie get together, you know, and they all stitch this one really incredible quilt. And no one patch is any more important than any other patch kind of thing, you know?
Uh-huh.
Well, the woman sewing this patch has to get off an hour early today, Booker.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.